a labor. But then again, it is material. Reviews, spectacles, a market. It is performance. Sport gives rise to immense mediatic ceremonies, crowded with consumers of brands and images. Money invades it to empty souls, medical science to construct artificial bodies. Walking is not a sport. Putting one foot in front of the other is child's play. When walkers meet, there is no result, no time. The walker may say which way he has come, mention the best path reviewing the landscape. What can be seen from this or that promontory? Efforts have nevertheless been made to create a new market in accessories. Revolutionary shoes, incredible socks, high-performance trousers. The sporting spirit is being surreptitiously introduced. You no longer walk, but do a trek. Pointed staves are on sale to give walkers the appearance of improbable skiers. But none of that goes very far. It can't go far. Walking is the best way to go more slowly than any other method that has ever been found. To walk, you need to start with two legs. The rest is optional. If you want to go faster, then don't walk. Do something else. Drive, slide, or fly. Don't walk. And when you are walking, there is only one sort of performance that counts. The brilliance of the sky. The splendor of the landscape. Walking is not a sport. Once on his feet, though, man does not stay where he is. 2. Outside. Walking means being out of doors, outside, in the fresh air, as they say. Walking causes the inversion of town dwellers' logics, and even of our most widespread condition. When you go outside, it is always to pass from one inside to another. From house to office, from your place to the nearest shops. You go out to do something, somewhere else. Outside is a transition, the thing that separates, almost an obstacle between here and there, but one that has no value of its own. You make it from your place to the tube station in all weathers, with a hurried body, a mind still half occupied with domestic details, but already projected towards work obligations. Legs galloping, while the hand nervously checks the pockets to ensure nothing has been forgotten. Outside hardly exists. It is like a big separating corridor, a tunnel, an immense airlock. It's true that you can go out sometimes just to get some air, some relief from the weighty immobility of objects and walls, because you feel stifled indoors. You take a breather while the sun is shining out there. It just seems unfair to deny yourself the exposure to light. Then, yes, you go out and take a step around the block, simply to be outside rather than to go here or there, to feel the lively freshness of a spring breeze or the fragile warmth of winter sunshine. An interlude, a managed pause. Children, too, go out just for the sake of it. Going out at that age means playing, running, laughing. Later, it will mean seeing their friends, escaping from parents, doing something different. But more often than not, once again, outside is placed between two insides. A stage. A transition. It is some space that takes some time. Outside. Out of doors. In walks that extend over several days, during major expeditions, everything is inverted. Outside is no longer a transition, but the element in which stability exists. It's the other way around. You go from lodging to lodging, shelter to shelter, and the thing that changes is the infinitely variable indoors. You never sleep twice in the same bed. Different hosts put you up each night. Every new decor, every change in ambiance is a new surprise. The variety of walls, of stones. You stop. The body is tired. Night is falling. You need rest. But these interiors are milestones every time. Means to help keep you outside for longer. Transitions. Another thing worth mentioning is the strange impression made by your first steps in the morning. You have looked at the map, chosen your route, said your goodbyes, packed your rucksack, identified the right path, checked its direction. It seems like a kind of hesitation,